Welcome everyone into the B Section podcast brought to you by the Morning Times and the Daily Review. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined today by David Goff and Logan Hill. Johnny Williams will be back with us next week for some football stuff to talk through. Plenty of football action to talk about on today's episode. We'll get into that. It's week one in Pennsylvania. We'll talk a little bit of NFL preview. But first, let's just do a little bit of cleanup about what's been going on. Logan's got some stuff involving local golf. David made a trip to Williamsport for the Little League World Series. So let's just dive in right to that. Let's start locally. Logan, what's been going on?
Yeah. Hey, good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Took a week off last week, but... Really, it's the start of the fall season, and for whatever reason, golf in the NTL starts about 2 weeks earlier than everybody else, maybe to take advantage of some of that summer weather before it gets
definitely.
A little too cold, maybe. So they had the first NTL meet of the year, I believe it was at least a week ago, maybe two. I'm looking for the date right now. It looks like it was the 14th. So today's the 21st as we're taping. This will come out on the 23rd. But at the Towanda Country Club, Athens took that one. I believe Towanda came in second, but I'm going to double check that. And then they had one meet get canceled that was supposed to be over in Wellsboro area on Monday. That got postponed to next week. The only other event that I had on my docket that I saw was the Sealands Grove Invite, which had teams from Towanda, Wyalusing, and Athens all in attendance. Towanda won the entire thing. I believe they shot a 22 over, which was the best score out of the field. I think Athens finished, I want to say maybe fourth or fifth. They finished in that top range. And then
now that's interesting because that's on an NTL sanctioned event, right? Like that was just,
it wasn't an NTL meet. No,
that's what I mean. Yeah. Whereas Athens is what, won 102 straight NTL matches,
something along those
lines. Which just happened with the first NTL meet.
So it doesn't hurt the streak.
Apparently not.
Okay.
So that you caught my eye when you said about the
Athens streak still alive, technically. Yeah.
Because I was going to mention that, like, and Logan brought this to my attention last week, that Athens had a 102 straight matches, and that's like 17 straight meets or something like that, but you get a win per every team that you beat in that one single meet, so you could be 6-0 in a single NTL meet, and they've surpassed 100, and
that's still alive,
it's still alive, it's still alive.
As far as we know. Yeah. So Athens, the first NTL meet, they won. Towanda was second, North Penn third, and then Wyalusing finished fourth. Kalinowski Valley was the fifth place team. That was the first NTL meet of the year at the Towanda Golf Club, which for somehow, some way, I still have not played. That's on my bucket list of things. I need to learn how to swing a club well, but I have not learned how to do that yet.
And do you have clubs?
I do. Right. I've never played before. So I just got to take a lesson or something. Now is probably not the right time of year to take a lesson, but... You find ways to not now.
Next summer, you got it.
And then the Sealands Grove Invitational, Sealands Grove Invite. There was a 23-team field. Towanda was the first team, 22 over par. Athens was fourth, and Wyalusing finished 14th. So those were the only NTL teams I saw in the group. So I didn't see anybody else. I could have missed somebody, but
the NTL
early
fall,
showings golf wise elsewhere. It's just really been a lot of scrimmages. I haven't been out to any yet. I've been peel back the curtain for you this week. My camera decided to not work. The first, we had our football media day meeting and camera said, nope, not coming with you. So I had to make arrangements for that. So I've been trying to get that fixed and it should be ready to go by Friday so that I should be a fully functioning
sports reporter. I was a bad teammate that day in that I didn't have my camera in my car to get. So
that timing is a cruel joke.
Yeah. It makes you laugh, but not in the moment. But so other than that, it's really just some scrimmages this week and then we're going to get to it. But Friday is really the de facto fall kickoff.
The fall kickoff is here. David, you were down in Williamsport. It's Little League World Series time. A great time of year for everyone, whether you're playing, whether you're a fan, whether you watch it on TV, whether you go. A lot of people make the trip down. You did this
yesterday, which would be Tuesday.
On Tuesday. So tell us how it was. Tell us what you got into.
Well, the first thing I will say is if you've never been to the Little League World Series, if you're listening, the Logan raises his hand, I guess. Go. Like, you live close enough. If you're listening to this, you're probably less than 2 hours away. It's a really good time.
Unless you're one of our listeners in Australia, we appreciate
shout out to you guys out on the beach right now.
Chances are you're less than 2 hours away from Williamsport, and which is my same case when I was a kid growing up in Harrisburg. It's basically 90 minutes away from either direction to Williamsport. And I only went there twice when I was a kid, which is kind of shocking to me because I loved it and I always looked forward to it. But it was like, you know what? I'm back in the Pennsylvania area, I might as well just go see it, check it out. And it worked out because I actually wanted to go on Sunday because the Yankees and Tigers were there, and it'd be cool to be there when, like,
and David loves the Yankees. Yeah, he's secretly a closeted, huge Yankees guy.
Yankees lost that game, by the way.
Walk-off fashion.
Walk-off.
I was happy to see that. anyway, but the weather kind of scared me off, the rain and the forecast. Like, I don't really want to drive down there for that. Turned out Tuesday was going to be, like, the best weather day. It was also a chance for me to see Team Pennsylvania, which was kind of a unique kind of connection to our area in that they're under 11. The Pennsylvania team is from Council Rock Newtown Little League, which is about an hour away from Philly. The Little League World Series teams are the under 12 aged teams. The under 11 aged team from Council Rock Newtown played up in Athens last month. They made it to the championship game of that state tournament. They lost to Downingtown West. But I'm like, oh, that's really cool. That's the same Little League. Maybe I can, like, get connected with a parent that possibly had a kid on both teams. And I did. I found a kid, a father. His name is Dave Longo. He had a kid on both. And I did about a 15-minute interview with him in Lamide Stadium, just sitting down an hour or so before their game started. It was a phenomenal interview. It was really cool to listen to what his summer has been like and what, like, just what the Little League World Series experience is like. He mentioned how his kid was pitching on Sunday, and that while the Yankees and Tigers were there, Aaron Judge was up in the press box talking to Carl Ravage and that crew. And he's like, Aaron Judge might have been, like, critiquing my kid's pitching. Like,
what a thought.
So, I mean, the Little League World Series,
he's like, yeah, I'd go 450 dead.
It's kind of a cheesy term, but it's almost a little bit of baseball heaven. You get major leaguers there. You have Carl Ravage, who does Sunday Night Baseball for Major League Baseball. He's calling 12-year-olds playing baseball all week long. You see the passion. You see heartbreak. You see celebrations. You just see people having a good time. You get, like, four games a day. That Pennsylvania game, they ended up losing to Hawaii 3-1. It actually ended their tournament, so it was kind of unfortunate to see that. But that was the only full game I got to see. My dad came up and we actually hung out for the day. But we saw the beginning of Venezuela, Aruba. That ended on a walk-off walk, but we were over at the Pennsylvania game by the time that game ended. And then after the Pennsylvania game, we went over and watched the first inning of Cuba and Mexico. And we both decided to go our separate ways and go back to where we came from, which is just a funny term. And turns out we missed. Mexico was down 4-1 with 2 outs and 2 strikes in the bottom of the 6th inning. 3-run home run ties the game. They win the game 6-4. So we were there for 3 games. The only full game we saw was the only one that did not end up in walk-off fashion, which is a little unfortunate. But regardless, it's a phenomenal day. The complex is awesome. Seeing all those kids go down the cardboard on that hill, sliding like a sled. It's a really cool day, and I'm gonna try to make it once every year, just because it's a cool day. And so if you haven't been, you should go. Even if you're not that much of a baseball guy, it's fun.
Can you tell people where to see your interview?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me to do that. So I am writing a column on the Little League World Series experience. It is supposed to be in the paper on Thursday, which will be a day before this podcast comes out. So the
22nd edition of the Morning Times. You should be able to get David's big experience in Williamsport.
So if you can't get a hard copy of it, it will be on morning-times.com/sports.
You're also probably going to see that in the Daily Review.
If you can get yourself a copy of the Morning Times or the Daily Review, please do.
I'm rush out to newsstands because hopefully they haven't switched over to Friday editions yet.
But
if you need a copy, let us know. We'll get you one.
But I had a really good time. I'm really excited to write this column because I got to talk to that one Pennsylvania parent, even Tim Kirkson, the ESPN guy. So
Kirk.
Yeah.
David didn't tell Tim that he knew me. Tim and I go back.
Two legends from one school.
Yes. Tim and I, if you're unfamiliar, Tim Kirkson, I believe he's a Maryland alum, but way before I went there, and he's been in baseball about as long as anybody can be in baseball.
Tonight on ESPN.
He is a baseball
face
nerd.
Face of ESPN's baseball coverage. I think he's
the baseball nerd's baseball nerd.
Yeah.
Like, so, that's the level of information and stuff.
Bring it back to me for 1 second is, when I was these little leaguers' age, I watched Baseball Tonight on ESPN all the time. Tim Kirkson was my favorite person. So I'm just walking at the end of the Little League World Series. I was about to leave. I was like, I'm going to take a lap to see what's going on. end up walking right by Todd Frazier, and then I walk by Tim Kirkson. I'm like, holy crap, that's Tim Kirkson.
Yeah.
And then he was talking to kids, taking pictures. So I'm like, I don't want to, you know, bother him or whatever. And then I walk around again. I see him again. He's just by himself. I'm like, hey, do you mind if I do a quick interview? Because you've been to the Little League World Series a bunch of times in your life. What does it mean to you? And it's, sure. It was a perfect kind of thing for my column that I'm going to write. So
he did go, University of Maryland, a Bethesda, Maryland native. Yeah, and I've met him. We shook hands.
Yeah,
David didn't even think to be like, Logan Hill, do you know him?
Know the guy?
He probably would have said, yes.
What he told me when I asked him for 2 minutes for an interview, he was like, I have to do, this was 6:01 at night. He says, I got an interview at 6:20, but yeah, I got some time. I'm like, that is the coolest thing anyone's ever told me in my life.
Turns out the interview was on the phone with Logan.
Hey, Logan, how you been doing, man?
I haven't seen you in a bit.
Here in Williamsport. I'm wondering if you're coming out.
I do not believe Logan Hill was on SportsCenter that night.
You never know, though.
But
you
go get yourself a copy of Thursday's Morning Times of the Daily Review and see if you can't give David's article a look. Certainly a very cool experience, and you'll get to read all about it there. Let's talk about what everyone's here to listen for. It's week one of high school football in Pennsylvania. It's back, and we're ready to dive right in. You guys are ready to get out there on Friday nights.
If you're listening to this as the day the podcast comes out, we have football tonight.
It's football. It's football night in the Valley, in the Daily Review area. We got a slate of Athens at South Williamsport. We got Sayre at Troy, which David will be at. Logan's going to be in Towanda for Kawaneski Valley at Towanda. Maybe the most competitive game of the week if you're trying to get out and just check out local action with no ties to any school. North Penn Mansfield at Wyalusing. Wyalusing's ready to get back to high school football this week. So is Canton. They're on the road at Northwest. We're here. We made it. Another year. This is what this podcast was kind of founded around. It's what our original idea for this podcast was to talk local high school football. And
it's what our logo still is. It's what it still Friday is. Podcast.
Those of you OGs.
I thought we had a B-section podcast.
No.
Or logo.
We do.
It's on the top of our page.
Not a logo. A little
not
top
streaming
note.
Services.
But on the streaming. You're correct. No. On the streaming
services. The OGs
service.
Remember the Football Friday pod.
Welcome to the Football Friday podcast. But this is now the B-section, which is the same podcast. But
what are you guys looking forward to most about this upcoming season? Right off the top of your head. No prep. Anybody?
I'm going to keep this Pennsylvania related because there's New York comes in.
We're not there yet. Yep.
But I mean, Sayre and Athens both had down years last year.
Okay.
But it just, Athens has a roster full of kids that are returning. Like Connor Davison's a sophomore quarterback, and there were a lot of freshmen on that team last year. Sayre, on the other hand, they just had a small roster. They're a bit bigger this year. Nick Pelicano is going to go back to this receiver slot, which is a big advantage for Sayre to have.
Had a really good showing at that 7-on-7, too. So
yeah. So
looks like they could be a little something.
Both of them have, I mean, everybody has optimism at this point in time. Yeah. But they have reasons to be like, we can have a better
excitement.
Year this year.
Excitement is around Sayre right now.
I might have the picture from week one of him just etched into my mind, the Nick Pelicano catch over Canton defender. I think he's going to be in the race for first team NTL. Wide receiver.
That'd be great.
If they get to use him at the wide receiver position, because he's just a dynamic athlete. Yeah. I remember having seen him play basketball and even baseball, but more notably basketball, is I think as a senior, he might even take more of a jump, especially if he has a good rapport right out of the gates with the quarterback.
Yeah, and I just one more note on him. The 7-on-7 tournament that I saw at Sayre, he made like 4 leaping grabs. I'm like, oh.
Right, he's ready to go.
I think there's going to be competition around the league, but I think at the wide receiver position, he's going to be in the running for it. As long as Sayre can get into positions to throw the ball to him.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Logan, and I don't want to take away from the preview story of Troy football coming up that you can find in the NTL Football Preview magazine that you guys did a great job on.
On newsstands today.
Today, as you're listening to this, the guys did a tremendous job. You can get all your team previews there. It's become annually a really great product that we put out. We talked a lot last season on this pod about Troy as they made their run and what a run it was. Step back, reload, rebuild. What does the Trojans look like coming into the season as they're going to be I bring that up because we just talked Sayre.
Yeah.
That's where Sayre's going tonight. Yeah. If you want to watch, what do we think from the Trojans?
I love that you set it up that way because it kind of leads me to my greater point and that's where I'll start, is the thing that I'm most excited about is being able to have followed a team's storylines across the league, different team storylines for a year, and now seeing how some of those storylines carry on. Because obviously with high school sports, it's not like the pros where people are under contract. It's not even like college these days where you're signing an NIL deal or you're signing your scholarship and you're like, okay, I'm going to stay here for a year. It's high school football. It's every year is different, right? Like, just because, like, the seniors that graduated aren't coming back for another go around this year. That's not an option today. Right. But in the case of someone like Troy, and that's where we'll start, is they blazed the league. That's my favorite adjective to use to describe it, because they hardly played anybody in the league close. Stamped an exclamation point on it with the old shoe game last year to win the NTL title. Then they battled to the district final, and they went up against the team, I believe it's 7 or 8 straight state championships in 2A, Southern Columbia. So just they played them to a 14-0 game in a monsoon rainstorm, and just it wasn't their night, right?
Right.
So they weren't at Media Day. Troy was not, because it was the first week of practice. And so I went out to their camp and I interviewed with Coach Smith. I interviewed with Evan Woodward, who's going to come back and play quarterback probably in the secondary defensively. And then I believe it was Easton Terriberry, who's going to be on the D line. Coach Smith had great things to say about him. Thinks he's going to be able to, one of those players that's going to be able to play further down the road than just high school football, which is always cool to see too.
That's very,
But it's just like, obviously that's on their mind, or maybe on their mind's not even the right way to put it. They remember that. They know how it happened. They played in that game. But the important thing is to let this season be this season. So I think they have some high hopes. They want to obviously get back to that point. And the way Coach Smith kind of put it is, if you can get out of the district, you're going to have a good shot to compete for a state championship, because a lot of the powerhouse for 2A football in the state of Pennsylvania is coming out of District 4. So if you can just survive that gauntlet, if you can get past the Southern Columbia, if you can beat them, you're going to have a shot to contend. So I think they're going to be in just as good of a spot as they were last year. They had some graduates, but they bring a lot of people back. They bring a lot of consistency back. And I think, as much as they say you got to let this year be this year, that's always going to be in the back of your mind. So I'm excited to see what they do. Sarah, like we talked about, is trying to build off of a return to action. They could not have gotten a worse draw to start the season out, going to the NTL champs in their home stadium. So
let me bring you both in, and let's do it this way. You mentioned the old shoe game, Troy Canton, great rivalry. The Rusty Rail game, historically great rivalry between Athens and Sarah. Of course, you get Towanda Wyalusing. We're sitting here right now. Fast forward to when all those rivalry games take place this season. Which one do you guys see being the most competitive this season?
How can it not be Troy Canton?
It wasn't a season ago. Canton is very good too. Canton, I think the best way I can look at it is like a team's, and obviously it changes and it comes back, but peaks, right? So I think Canton's peak of what they have going on in right now was a couple of years back. Right. I think they had a couple of 13-2 seasons, made some runs at the state semis. And so now they're kind of just the natural way.
They've kind of reversed roles.
The natural things ways go is they're trying to figure out ways to stay in that competitive upper echelon, while maybe they have less kids coming out for Canberra. They have less star athletes returning to the positions. They've had guys graduate.
Trying not to do a total rebuild.
Yeah, and it's there's never truly... I think it's a weird concept in high school football to be like a rebuild. Like, who comes out. And some years you have great athletes across the board. Some year you have fewer of them. And I think this go around is Troy has the, what's the way to say it? Bounty of riches. Or I believe that's a saying, something like that. Right?
They got it.
They have athletes at every position that are maybe a step above what some of the rest of the league can field. So I think the closest game would be Towanda Wyalusing again. It was a 1-point game last year.
Very competitive last year.
It was a 1-point game last year.
It's funny. I asked, how can it not be? And you gave me a very compelling reason why.
I think Canton's a very good football team. I just think Troy is in a class of their own. Yeah, I think I wrote that a couple of times last year.
I think it's probably Towanda Wyalusing. David, how close are we to getting the Rusty Rail game back, the competitive spirit being back?
Closer.
Are we closer than we've been in a while?
I think we're closer. I'm not entirely sure we're there just yet, because I don't want to make assumptions about how the season is going to go and all that. So, like, Athens, who also struggled last year. Sarah struggled a little bit more, but Athens also struggled. Athens beat Sarah handily.
Okay.
And Athens, again, they're returning 90% of their key players. So it's just like, I don't know. It's the size of the teams.
And it's interesting. It's an interesting trend, though, right? Yeah. Sarah's starting to put together more numbers.
Yeah.
Athens' numbers a little bit down this season.
I just
asked the question. We're closer than we've been in a while.
And we have to see. And again, you are asking this question 10 weeks ahead of time for a reason.
Yeah.
But we do have to see like what's Carter Green going to be like as quarterback for Sarah and stuff like that.
And then, like you said, Logan, Tawanda Wailusing was decided by a point.
1 point game last year. It was probably, I didn't even catch the full thing, and it was probably the best NTL game I saw a season ago. I made it for this, mostly just the fourth quarter, maybe one play in the third quarter. But I had gone across town from the old shoe, across multiple towns, from Canton to Wailusing that night. And I just remember that and just the great games. To sum up the three rivalries you mentioned right there, aside from Tawanda Wailusing, which can't possibly get closer, I think the other two games will be closer than they were a year ago, because I think Sayre has, last year everything was first time again, return to action, learning how to do it. They're not going to want to get punched in the mouth two straight rivalry years in a row against Athens. Meanwhile, Athens is going to be fighting to maintain that, right? So I think that game will be closer, and I also think Canton and Troy should be closer, because Canton's not going to forget. Those guys that are going to be seniors, going to be juniors, even sophomores on Canton, are not going to forget how last year went, and Troy just kind of
got
the snowball rolling and just kept pushing it. So,
and the one thing for Sarah as well that you won't really see is, I mean, Ricky has talked about, head coach Ricky Lindblad has talked about how like he's kind of transformed the coaching staff from last year to this year. So like maybe it's the coaching up and stuff like that as well.
So before we move on, obviously we're week one here. One more rundown. The NTL Preview Magazine is on stands right now. Logan and David did a great job, put a ton of work into it. All your team previews are in there. Go check them. Get yourself a copy of that. Logan's going to be in Tawanda for Cowanesky Valley at Tawanda tonight. David, you're in Troy for Sarah at Troy.
Yeah.
It's week one. We're going to have New York previews coming in the following pods for all of our Waverly and Tioga listeners. And
for the record, I have a Tioga and Waverly previews in this magazine.
In that magazine.
Well.
But we'll do a little more in-depth on New York coming up. Before we move on from high school, it's week one. I'm going to list our coverage teams. No explanation needed. This is just for everyone getting out Friday night to take a watch and to take in the sights and sounds in high school football. One standout player from each team. Logan, Troy, who should we watch for?
On Friday night.
Brendan Gilliland, running back, tight end. I was their leading rusher a season ago as a sophomore, I'm pretty sure. So probably might get more of a... I know they like to go by committee, but might get some more bell cow carries this year, and keep an eye out for him.
David, stay right in that game. One guy from Sarah everyone should watch tonight.
I mentioned Pelicano maybe a little bit too much the last few weeks. So I would say Jameer Cole. He's going to step in for Caden Bennett, who was kind of their bell cow running back last year. He had like 90% of their rushing, but Jameer Cole was kind of his backup, and he's going to be if he can find some running game, he can be a key factor for those guys.
Cowanesky Valley's at Tawanda. You'll be there, Logan. Who are we watching for from Tawanda?
For Tawanda, I think the answer is it's unfortunately the obvious choice, but it's not a bad thing. So unfortunately, it might have been the wrong way to put it, but Riley Vanderpool, he's going to be a senior. And I could have gone with Evan Woodward for Troy. He's going to be a senior quarterback too, but Riley's back. I believe last year was his first year at the quarterback position as a starter. As long as he's back there behind center, he should be the player to watch. He was their leading rusher a season ago, and he should only take a step forward as a passer. If it's not him, I would go with someone like Will Schroeder. Both these guys were at Media Day, so maybe that's why it's playing in my mind. But he is a wide receiver and more arguably a star as a defensive back. I remember he had a 3-interception first half last season, so he's going to be a senior. He had a bunch of confidence at the Media Day, and if they throw it, he's going to try to go get it. I nicknamed him Schroeder Island. I'm still working on the trademark for that.
All right.
For Cowanesky Valley, Graham Hess, quarterback. Going to be
first year coach, right?
Yes, new coach.
Cowanesky Valley. Yes.
Another year under his belt. Actually, a Temple football alum. So
yeah, David wrote was telling me about that
for our magazine.
Check that out. David, Athens has got to make a little bit of a trip in week one. South Williamsport. Yeah. Who are we watching for from the Wildcats this year?
Connor Davidson. He was a standout freshman quarterback last year, but for a good reason. He could throw a little bit and he could run. And the first game I covered when I moved up here was Athens hosting Wellsboro, and Athens was within the possession in the fourth quarter, ended up losing. But as I was watching that, and as I learned that the Athens quarterback was a freshman, I'm like, ooh, they might have something for a while here. He's just a dynamic quarterback, which head coach Sean Bradley has noted a lot. Just he's dynamic has been the word used. Yeah. And he's 1 year older. He's 1 year more experienced. And on top of the quarterback thing, he's a pretty good secondary player in the defense as well. So,
okay. If you're going to rank best words for describing a good player, or a player that's fun to watch, or a player that does things well, dynamic is near the top of the list. Yeah, it's dynamic just notch. Feels good rolling off the tongue.
When we were at media day and I did the interview with Athens for their story, I asked about Davidson to Bradley and he called him dynamic. I also asked about Davidson after the first game I covered, and Bradley called him dynamic.
Yeah, that's so, the word we're sticking with this season.
It's a good word.
So the last two games are in your area, Logan, North Penn Mansfield at Wyalusing. Who can we look for in that game?
So for Wyalusing, I was thinking about who I was going to pick, and there's a lot of options. Wyalusing wants 3 yards in a cloud of dust football, play hard defense. The name I'm going to go with is Will McBride. He's an offensive tackle, and I believe he plays on the D-line for the Rams.
Yeah, give the big boys a shout-out. I like that.
I got to interview with him in the preseason, and we're not just picking all the kids that we got to interview with, but I was really impressed by what he had to say, and just he's excited for this year.
All right.
Anytime you got a road grader up front, it's a good thing to write about. So in a game that's so often decided by the trenches, I think he's going to be
the big man, huh?
If he's winning his battles on both sides of the ball, well, Lucien's probably going to be in pretty good shape. For North Penn Mansfield, it is Cooper Shaw. He's going to be taking over quarterbacking duties from graduate Carson Dominick, and he said he played quarterback all the way up, so this is just a return to the position for him. And his coach, it was his assistant coach that day, but said that he played tight end last year, so he earned the respect of the linemen because he was down there blocking with them. So
it can't hurt.
So it's going to be, how does he transition to the position at the high school level, and how do things kind of go?
Canton is on the road at Northwest in week one.
For Canton,
talked a lot about them so far.
For Canton, I'll go with Ben Fitch. I mean, it's another quarterback selection. I like to be conscious of that and not just always pick all the quarterbacks, but he's another example of going to be a senior, going to be a leader, going to return, started his first snaps as a junior at quarterback, and then going to be a senior. You talked about being a lot more comfortable coming into it this year as opposed to last year. So,
and again, the quarterbacks are what we know going into week one. Obviously, if we do this each week and give a player to look forward to in each game, it's going to change as we kind of get out and see him.
I think it'll be and maybe it would have worked better is like who's going to replace a certain guy from last year for them. But I think you're going to see a lot of Holden Ward. You're going to see a lot of Aiden Holcomb for Canton, and there's going to be other runners in the mix. But I think Fitch is kind of at the center of all that playing quarterback. So that's going to be my player to watch for him. As for Northwest, I don't really have any.
Kind of a mysterious team we don't get to talk a lot about.
Jace McCoy is their quarterback. He's returning as a starter, so he's
again a team who's had a little bit of struggles in the last.
Anytime you have a returning starter at the quarterback position, he's gonna be a guy to watch the first week of the season because you want to see, hey, did he make a quick jump? Is he still getting it under his belt?
And it's gonna help a team like Northwest, who anybody with a little bit of experience on a team that's gone through its downtime could certainly help. Week one, it's here. Get out there tonight, support your community. Check out the Morning Times and the Daily Review for all the coverage. David and Logan got you all year long. And I'm just excited to have high school football back. We'll talk again more New York in the coming weeks. We'll give you some previews there. The NTL Magazine previews on stands now. Please get out there, check that out. Other than that, let's move on to some quick national stuff. Really quick, I know we're jumping from baseball to baseball. Just a quick update on how everyone's team's doing. Not much has changed. The Phillies have given up a little bit of that lead. I think they're only 6 games ahead of the Braves now.
I think the Dodgers are also like
in the mix.
Game ahead of them in the, like, the Dodgers are the best team in the NL right now.
Right. How you feel?
Just get to October.
Okay.
It's
been a little tough sliding.
Phillies 73-52.
And I think the Orioles
had 75.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The Orioles are now a half game ahead of the Yankees. I think they
that
picked
just has
up.
Not changed.
The Brewers are also 73-52. They've been on a surge lately.
The Phillies are in danger of not having a bye.
Right.
After all this time.
Not so much. It's not time to panic in terms
of the
division. They're
still 6 up on the Braves.
Right.
Yeah. Still 6 up on the Braves.
You get 2 teams get a bye, and the Brewers and Dodgers are like kind of right there.
They're right there.
So, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's in the mix in the NL for all the different spots. Yeah. Orioles 74-53, Yankees 73-53. So it's just a happy game.
Right where we've
been. Keep on going that way until the last week of the regular
season.
When
was the last podcast we had where you guys weren't separated by less than a game?
It's been like four episodes.
I don't think there's been one.
It's been a long time. The Yankees are in one with the Guardians currently.
Guardians 73-52, so another top team in the AL.
Knew the Guardians would always kind of have a shot at the AL Central. They always do. I didn't expect them to be this up there with the other teams we talk about, but they've held right on.
Their bullpen is insane.
Yeah.
The Twins and the Royals both 70-56 in that AL Central. So.
Okay. So that's kind of where things stand. Not a whole lot of change. I know
Astros 68-57 leading the American League East.
We talk about the Astros a little bit just out in our
yeah, that's what I meant.
Cubicle area, and we said early on when they were having their troubles, it won't last.
Yeah,
the Astros will be the Astros by the end.
Yeah,
of
they'll figure. I cannot stand the Astros.
Yep,
they'll be there. I cannot stand them.
And I do feel like over the last month or two of the summer, the really only big notable change in baseball are the Phillies just falling.
I think what did it for me with the Astros was, I mean, obviously they had their whole scandals years back and all that, but I think the final nail in the coffin for me was the Orioles were on TBS last season, and I don't get that many games for the Orioles up here, and I don't go seeking them out because they play every night. That would be too much of a hassle to try to find. And Kyle Tucker hit like a grand slam off Felix Batista.
That was enough.
Ninth inning.
You just had they made you sit there and watch it.
I was like, I watched the last four innings of this just for it to end like that. So yeah.
All right, let's talk some NFL. We decided to switch it up a little bit. We did the NFC West and the AFC West the last time you were with us. We've decided with only 2 weeks left before it's week one of the NFL, we kind of need to speed things up. We're going to finish out the AFC on today's episode. Next week, we will do the NFC, and then in week one, we'll give our MVPs and awards and Super Bowl predictions and all that good stuff. So we're just going to finish out the AFC today. We already did the West. Let's start in the South. Colts, Texans, Jaguars, and who's the fourth team in that league?
Titans.
Well, that tells you right there. I'll start the last place team in that. We're going to go, who's winning it? Who's coming in last? And who's your player in the division that you're most excited to watch? Let's start with last. I think it's the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't think it's particularly close. No more Derrick Henry. An aging DeAndre Hopkins.
And Will Levis.
Second year Will Levis.
Careful. He's on somebody's dynasty fantasy team and feeling really good about Will Levis coming into this year.
His second year Will Levis, not sure there was much to write home about in year one.
Yeah.
He'll have his hands full this season. I have the Titans penciled in as my last place team in the AFC South. Anybody different on that?
Well, Logan.
A little bit
of a Colts. Why are we just so sure to say the Colts are going to be good?
Okay.
Why are we just so sure? So, I mean, we could be staring at a similar situation. Anthony Richardson could have glass bones and paper skin. We don't know. Yeah. That's a SpongeBob reference.
Jonathan Taylor fully healthy.
Yeah, but he's going to wear the Guardian cap, so his equilibrium is probably going to be off out there. Heavier.
How many guys are you thinking to wear that?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
It's hard to get used to, but
I do think the hype around Anthony Richardson is very over the top.
He could be very good. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a right away that the Titans might just. But you're right. They don't have Derrick Henry anymore. But who knows?
I agree. It's big time hype. Does anyone think that? Well, we can just decide that CeeDee Stroud and the Texans are now a team to be messed with forever because of last year.
I don't think that
either.
Are
we sure that's?
I think the Jaguars could easily win that division as the Texans could.
I think the Jaguars just kind of have an off down year.
You too. They've been in the playoffs. They had a great comeback win over the Chargers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence at times has looked that guy. Sometimes he hasn't. But they got over the Urban Meyer era. Peterson comes in.
A big crop of wide receivers this year. Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk. There's more guys
they've put guys around
Gabe
him.
Davis, Christian Kirk are both. I think Kirk was there last year, and he got hurt.
And I think the whole NFL universe is on the idea that C.J. Stroud and the Texans are just, well, of course they did it last year. They're going to be good now. I think everyone's got him in, like, their top eight quarterbacks.
Yeah. I think the Jaguars will be very much in the mix. I would still pick the Texans to win.
Brian Thomas Jr. Sorry.
Yeah, LSU.
But a first-year quarterback, first-year coach went pretty well.
Yeah.
It.
And they added Stephon Diggs. When are we going to talk about that?
I'll be glad to talk about somebody. Not my problem anymore. But,
I believe in the Texans being a legitimate team. I do think the Jaguars make the playoffs. But I think the Texans still get the division.
Texans, who you got winning the division, Logan?
I will go with the Houston Texans. Okay. I just don't think it's a sure thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I think they're in, they're out, they're in, they're out. They've put a little more around Trevor Lawrence. I think he is a little better than... We've got down on him in the last year or so, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's better than that. He's proven he can win in the playoffs. He came back from one of the biggest deficits in a playoff game history over the Chargers.
It was the Chargers.
Yeah. So. It's fair, but they were down 28 points.
I'm just making fun of the Chargers for a minute.
I think we're very quick to just write them off and deem the Texans the team now. Again, watch out for the Colts. It's probably a pretty competitive division to watch all season when it hasn't always been.
I think it's a fun division to watch.
I think it'll be fun. Who's everyone the most excited to watch? Speaking of fun,
Richardson.
Yeah, see if he's the real deal or not.
Yeah, he's that dual threat quarterback that's become such a popular archetype for guys in the league nowadays. So, if he's healthy and he's ready to go, and he's throwing it and he's running it. So
mine's Richardson too, just to see if he's real or not. Is he going to be that guy or is it all smoke and mirrors?
They used a fourth pick on him a couple years back.
He's going to get exactly every light the world on fire at Florida.
No.
So
he got drafted because of his measurables. Yeah,
the jury's out.
I would go Stroud.
Okay.
I look at the Texans completely as a team like, are they going to take an even bigger step? Yeah. And I just think that's interesting in it of itself. So I think it would be interesting to see if Stroud can build on it, be the same player, or if he progresses, it'd be interesting to see.
Okay. AFC East. It's been the Bills now for a little bit. I'd say it's as much more competitive as it's been in recent years going into this season. We have Aaron Rodgers back. The Dolphins have basically signed their entire offense.
Breaking news for the show. That's trademarked. We just might have taken that from somewhere.
We just got, what is that called? Monetized or whatever?
Now I've lost it. Bo Nix named starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. So formality, I think we all kind of probably expected that. But
that's kind of what we
I just got an ESPN fantasy notification.
The new Sean Payton Drew Brees.
Could be the first rookie QB to start a season opener for the team since John Elway in 1983. And if things go right, Logan Hill will get him on his dynasty fantasy football team. I know nobody in this league that I'm in listens to this podcast. So
far, of all the quarterbacks taken in the first round, everyone will start besides McCarthy, who's now hurt.
Yeah.
And it looks like Penix, of course, is going to start backing up Cousins. Other than that, Caleb Williams to start, Jaden Daniels to start, and now Bo Nix named the starter for the Broncos. May is not. That's right. Who is that still a competition? Let's talk AFC East.
Jacoby Brissett. Yeah. That's it. And now we're back.
We're back.
I feel like Brissett's been a Patriot five different times in his career.
I think he'll start. From what I've watched in the preseason, what little bit I've watched, it seems like they're just getting Drake May reps, and he will start the year as a backup. Yeah. I think that was always the plan, though, as it is a lot of times for some of these teams.
I don't think
now.
The Patriots have any plans on new head coach for the first time in how many years. When did Belichick start there? I couldn't tell you.
A long, long time.
So I don't think they have any plans of vying for contention. I mean, you'd like to think your team's vying for contention every year, but this has kind of been a reset finally from the Patriots dynasty.
Are we good with the Patriots unanimously last?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk the other three then. Rodgers back for the Jets. The Dolphins have everyone, and they've extended everyone. Tua, Tyreek, Waddle. They got Mostert, Jalen Ramsey. They seem loaded.
Yeah.
But they were loaded last year.
They were good last year.
The Bills lose Diggs. A lot is going to be put on Josh Allen's shoulders to make everyone around him better. That's what his job is. The defense retooled a little bit, lost some guys. Who do you guys feel comes out of that three, the Jets, the Bills, or the Dolphins?
I'll go Dolphins.
Okay.
I believe in that talent, and they had a really good year last year, and maybe they just really have to prove to us that they can play in cold weather.
Yeah.
And, that's an exciting offense and all that. I also feel like the Bills are kind of just plateaued a bit. So, and I also just don't want Aaron Rodgers to do well. So I'm just not going to pick the Jets.
Dolphins, Bills, or Jets, Logan?
The New York Jets.
All right.
I can't quit them. I can't quit the New York Jets. All right, you're
back in. Last year's Super Bowl pick from Logan.
I can't quit the New York Jets. I can't quit them. I wish that I could, but I can't. I think they're going to be good, barring
It's also, yeah, craziness. I was going to say, it's not a ridiculous pick. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Barring craziness, yeah. Rodgers should be out there for more than four snaps this year. Breece Hall is going to be a monster.
Garrett Wilson. I mean, they got guys, and the defense is great.
Who knows if they'll have a solid right or not, but...
Well, we're all going to be different on this one.
But I think the Jets, and we know where I'm definitely going. Thinking Patriots, right?
No, we're definitely going Bills. I'm not sure. The Bills, obviously, you have to beat the Chiefs. That's the goal. Win the division, beat the Chiefs. They've been the kryptonite for three out of the last four seasons for Buffalo. I do think Josh Allen is going to have to be at his best and at MVP form to do it. He hasn't shown me yet that he can't be. So as long as we get the same Josh Allen, I don't see any reason why we're giving up the crown. But it's going to be tough. I'll go Bills. David's got Dolphins. Logan's got Jets.
Nice.
Anybody, we think we're getting two teams out of this division?
For the postseason?
Yeah.
I think you could get three.
You think three?
I think all these teams are going to be good. The question is, where do the drop-offs come? Like, sure. Is Buffalo going to take two from Miami this year? If they all split, I think the AFC is going to be, I mean, it's been super competitive in recent years, but just as competitive, if not more this year than this year. Because you think about it, the AFC South, you're definitely getting one, maybe you get two.
Yeah.
The AFC North, if everything lines up, you should have three teams at least vying for playoff
those
contention.
Spots, right.
And then you say three from the AFC East and at least two from the AFC West. That's a lot of teams for not so many playoffs.
Should be
spots.
Very competitive. Let's talk the North. Last
exciting player for the East.
Oh yes, good point, David. Player to watch for me is going to be Keon Coleman. He's now number one target for Allen. He's their top pick.
Nobody cares about your fantasy team, but another member of the Logan there you Hilltop go. Dynasty.
Stephon Diggs is gone. Someone's got to fill those shoes. Can Keon Coleman do it? Can he be the guy? Can he give Allen some help? It's Keon Coleman for me, David.
The Dolphins receiving corps.
So fun.
Cop out. He didn't so even fun, pick though. One guy.
I get it. They're so fun. Odell Beckham Jr. added to that core.
I didn't even know that.
He's on the PUP right now.
Yes.
I had no idea he
physically
was
physically unable to perform. Yeah.
Hopefully he's back soon because that just makes that team even more exciting.
But if you want to give me... if
How long do you stay off on the pup?
At least 6 weeks, ooh, I think, or something like break. That.
If I'm going to give an actual one name, Tua. Yeah. Take advantage of that core. Like, that's it.
Got it. It's time, right?
Well, that takes away what I was going to say, because I was going to say Tua.
Nothing wrong with that. Like,
can he make it work with all that?
He got paid.
I will pick Tyreek Hill, last namesake of myself, Logan Hill, Tyreek Hill. I never met, but maybe one day, and then we could have a chat about
Logan
that.
Logan Hill, Tyreek Hill, and Tim Kirkham.
That would be a
fun
lunch table.
That's a trio. That's a good table to sit at.
That would be a fun lunch table. How does he follow up last season? How historic last season was for him? How does
name
he
the number one
up?
Player? Was it ESPN or just NFL.com?
NFL. Okay. I read somewhere that they vote on that in November. That could be accurate or not, but because it's like, how does so and so end up at this spot on the list? But it's like if they vote in November, that
Mahomes
that makes
was
sense.
Four.
Yeah, to me, there's no world where Mahomes should not be number one.
It's
right
kind of crazy.
But, and then for it to be Lamar ahead of him, and then Tyreek Hill ahead of Lamar. It was just like, what is this list doing here?
Yeah. It's all just for talking points. Yeah. The North, who do we have in last place? Let's start there.
Cleveland.
Okay. A lot of people high on Cleveland.
I'm not going to sit here and say I have
Chubb's back.
I haven't done a whole lot of research.
I hate Deshaun Watson pick? There it is.
Partially. But the Ravens are the Ravens. They're good. The Bengals with Joe Burrow healthy should be pretty good.
Yep.
The Steelers might have figured something. Maybe possibly have a quarterback that's good enough now. So like I think the AFC North is gonna be the toughest division.
Pretty fascinating, right?
And I think Cleveland just falls a little bit under.
Will go last place Steelers. I think if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Well, that's a fair point.
I subscribe to that theory.
But they might.
I love the defense. The defense is going to keep them in it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
I just think everybody in that division is going to be in it all the way to the end.
The Steelers made the playoffs last year.
They did. Buffalo took them down. But again, as long as you have that defense, Tomlin's proven he can coach defense. It's can they get over that middle of the road hurdle and get themselves in again if the quarterback play turns out, they could even be better than that. We'll see. Najee Harris, George Pickens, didn't add much, didn't get Ayuk. I don't, they're not much, nothing excites me compared to last year.
I agree with the two quarterback thing. Like, if you have two, you have none. But I also feel like we'll figure it out.
Okay.
So,
Logan, last in the North.
Let me paint a picture.
All right.
Let me paint a picture. The obvious choice would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. The whole two quarterbacks they both got for about as cheap as you could get a quarterback for in the modern NFL. It was, let's see what's out there, right? Low risk, high reward, potentially. But it doesn't sound like either of them is jumping out off the page so far. But that's not the picture I want to paint. The picture I want to paint is it's the end of the preseason. Week one is just days away. Maybe it's Tuesday before the Ravens and the Chiefs play on Thursday, and we get an announcement, breaking news. Jamar Chase will hold out until he gets a new contract. And I can just, you take Jamar Chase and that Bengals puzzle will falter and fall apart. So I think that's the world we're going to be living in a couple weeks. Chase is not going to have his new contract that he wants. And he's going to hold out.
There are rumblings about that right now.
He wants a new deal.
Okay.
He doesn't have a new deal. Chad Ochocinco came out last week and said, I wouldn't play without a new deal if I was him. Something along the lines of that. He's going to hold out.
Yep.
Burrow might be healthy. Who you throwing the ball to? T. Higgins doesn't want to be there.
Right.
They got rid of Joe Mixon. He can't throw it and catch it himself. So I'm going to say, let's go with, I'll even give you a schedule, a record. I think this Jamar Chase thing hangs like a dark cloud over the city of Cincinnati, and they go like 6-11.
Wow.
So I think you could see the Bengals being the last team in this division, and I could be very wrong. Okay. They could go 14-3, but we'll go with the 6-11 picture for today.
Let's do who wins the division, and let me paint a little picture.
No.
Jamar Chase signs his deal. T. Higgins says, I'm going to play for a contract. Turns out Mixon isn't a big loss, and Zach Moss is just better. And Joe Burrow comes back looking to prove something and wins the MVP. And the Bengals go 13-4 and are your first place in the AFC North. I got Bengals winning the division. David?
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I, to be fair, was very unaware that there are rumblings about Jamar Chase. So, I mean, if Logan's thing is realistic enough to happen and it happens, then, well, then...
all bets are off.
Yeah, I think he'll play, but he does want a new deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for the sake of argument...
I think he's holding out.
I also, and this is more so, more of a narrative thing in my head, is that Joe Burrow has proven to be a pretty elite quarterback at times, and if he's healthy, he's going to not let the Bengals be a disaster. So, I don't know. I would pick the Bengals. I kind of feel like the Ravens were so good last year that they're not going to be as good this year. Playoff team, but...
tell us we're wrong, Logan. Yeah. Who's going to win the AFC North?
You're wrong. The Baltimore Ravens are going to win the AFC North, and to tell you why, I have just two words. Derrick Henry.
Oh,
it wasn't King. Lamar Jackson, because he's going to be back. He was there
King
last
of the North.
Year. Won an MVP. You throw Derrick Henry in the backfield with him, they should be just as good. They get their offensive line issues figured out. They had some answers, some questions to figure out there. The defense is still going to be flying around. And it's they were so good last year, they lost their defensive coordinator. They lost Patrick Queen to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost Geno Stone to the Cincinnati Bengals. They were so good, the division came calling for their players last year. So I think they're going to be just as good, if not better, because I think that AFC Championship loss is going to hang over their head, similar to what we talked about at the beginning of this podcast with Troy remembering how the district final went.
There you go. I like that.
I think that's
going
to be a motivating thing for everyone. Everybody not named Derrick Henry for the entire season, and then you add him in December.
Well,
I can't wait for the first 150-yard Derrick Henry game.
Oh,
scary. Okay. Player to watch? David?
Lamar.
Okay. MVP. The reigning MVP. Electric. Mine's for what I said in for the Bengals to win. I think Joe Burrow's got to be that guy. I think he's got to be MVP-level Joe Burrow. He can't come back anything less. So for me, I'm keeping an eye on him. That weird wrist injury that apparently only offensive linemen have ever had.
Oh.
If that's a big deal, then everything I said is going out the window. If it isn't, no reason to think Burrow doesn't look like Burrow and that team doesn't look really good like they have with him at quarterback. Logan?
Justin Fields / Russell Wilson.
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah. I like that one.
Whoever ends up winning the job,
And how long do they keep it?
How long do they keep it? How long does the other guy take over? I was talking.
I hate my answer now.
I think I was just playing video games or something, and I had my headset on talking to some friends. And I think Fields could start. If he's not named the week one starter, I think there's a legitimate path to him making 6+ starts this year. Because I just think, like you said, two quarterbacks, you don't have one. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
And I just think it's going to be a mess. And maybe it's not, and maybe we get vintage Russell Wilson. But
so my brother-in-law lives in Pittsburgh, and my wife and I are going down this weekend to visit our nephews. I will have my ear to the ground, guys. I'll find out who's going to start week one, and we'll report back next week. But until we do that, that's it for the AFC.
We should just do a reminder of our last podcast. We did the AFC West.
Yes, if you're looking for our AFC West stuff, it's on the last episode. Again, going forward, next week we'll do the NFC.
You'll never guess who we all picked to win the AFC West.
Such a tough guess. Other than that, it's week one, guys. It's Friday night. Pennsylvania football's back. Please get out there and support the community. Please support us and get a copy of the Morning Times and the Daily Review tonight, tomorrow, and the rest of your fall sports season, because David and Logan got you covered. The NTL preview magazine's also on stands if you want team previews to take with you. Keep yourself involved in the game. Keep yourself involved in the community. Get out and support everyone tonight. Football season's back, and we're excited. And until next week, we'll see you guys later.